Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that talks to you about what it's really like to be a business owner. We are your hosts, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metres.
And we are so excited to be here today. Kelly, I don't know if you can look behind me, but I'm back home.
I love it.
I am back home. I'm sitting up. I'm walking with a boot and sometimes crutches, but I am getting there.
We did and not I'm take so advantage excited. Of you medicated nearly enough.
We really did. Next time. We didn't, but I also didn't really take much of my medicine. So if I feel like I'm in pain one day, I'll let you know and we'll pop on live.
Well, I feel like, especially as business owners, like you're so busy all the time. And when these big things happen, you think you're going to take advantage of it. And you're like, oh, I am going to get caught up. I'm going to get so many things done. And I have all these projects I want to work on and all of these things I want to do. And then life just keeps on lifing and it doesn't change much, even though you've got this big thing going on.
Not at all.
You go back and you're like, I didn't get anything. Like Aaron really wants to work on those Broadway musicals that he was supposed to do you over your injury. So I'm like, you got to get on it. I'm like, Kelly's going to be busy again.
Well, we'll get there. You know, I think we'll just have to take a trip or something and you drive and he and I will just sit in the back seat and work on our musicals. Or a retreat, because I think we need one. We need a lot of things. But yeah, I had so many intentions of things that I was going to get done. And I did get some big projects done, but not what I had planned on. But it did make me think about a couple things. Being away from my business made me see, A, what people are capable without me. Maybe I don't need to work the 90-hour weeks that I'm working. And I wanted to transition some things, and it gave me time to do that because I had space. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we talk about it all the time, how working on your business and in your business are two totally different things. And even if you don't have a life-changing surgery that is going to disrupt everything for 3 months, even if you're working on it, you're probably working in it as well. And really being taken out of that scenario and being taken out of that situation gave me a lot more insight. And I realized that I am a much different person. We're just going to say for the Union Tavern, just for the sake of this episode. It's different than it was in 2019. And I'm still introducing myself like it's 2019. And
in 2019, but those of us that existed well before that, it's still brand, like it's new.
Yeah.
You're running a new business the past couple of years than you ran before, no matter how long you were open.
I mean, absolutely.
How small you are. And it's funny that you say that because I look at Aaron and he took over prep during the day. And so he makes comments all the time about how he's working in the business and not on the business. And he's like, you know, your podcast always tells me. But what he doesn't see is because he's by himself, and that involves, it also includes being away from me. Right? Mm-hmm. Our home stuff, our work stuff, our couple stuff, right? Like he's there by himself. He is more creative and doing more beneficial changes because he has the time to sit on things and think about them instead of constantly being in the running mode of just that wheel of go, go, go. So I think it can look like different things to take that space. But you mentioned space and I just immediately thought of what he's been able to accomplish. Just being taken out of the chaos of life and being put in a space where he could be like, oh, I don't actually like the way this is working, or, oh, I need to change this, or, oh, we should do this fun thing. And that creative space that we all need to be in.
Right. And it's such a great example. It's going to look different for different people. My taking space is going to look different than yours and Aaron's and Don's and everyone we know. For me, I physically needed to be unable to be there to be taking that space, because when I'm there, I'm just going to figure out something to do. Mm-hmm. So for him, it's such a great example how that can look differently.
Yes, you need to be like completely physically, emotionally, mentally separated and forced to be separated without an option, because you'll find, you found a way back a couple of times. I was like, you are not butt scooting up those stairs.
And you did.
You butt scooted up the stairs. And I was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. You can stay home. But anyways.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, I think it's just an important reminder that we need to take a look at who we are and how we're talking about ourselves and how we're introducing ourselves, because it is a constant evolution, like our business plan, like so many things about us and what we do. We're constantly evolving. and reintroducing yourself. As much as it's uncomfortable for people like us to talk about ourselves, we need to put some time in and really think about how we're presenting ourselves and those elevator pitches and those how do you answer quick questions in networking, because everything is turning into networking today, I swear to God. I feel like the more people know who we are a lot more now, business owners, because we did get the memo in 2020 that people actually care about us as human beings, not just as businesses. They may have some have forgotten. But so I think it's becoming, people are getting to know who we are more and asking questions. All those moments are networking, and we need to have those questions down and talk about what the answers can be so you don't stumble and sound like a buffoon like I usually do.
Here we go into it. I also just want people to take a moment, because I think we're all thinking about how much we've changed, no matter how long your business has been. It could be a year, it could be a couple of weeks, it could be decades. You know, We're constantly evolving and changing. But in that evolution and change, we've become fucking experts in things that we don't acknowledge. So not only are we becoming fucking experts in our business, but there are so many other things that we are forced to do as business owners that we're fucking experts at. And I use that term on purpose because it pushes and it makes people stop and think. And while we talk about ourselves and introducing ourselves and what our business is, we don't have to say that we're a fucking expert in things, but it should be in your head, because You're going to talk about yourself differently if you can acknowledge all of the things that you're really fucking good at that most people have no idea that you have this knowledge base.
Yeah. I think that's next week. Next time, it's just you and I. Let's just devote to what we're fucking experts at and how to get people to understand what they're fucking experts at.
Yes.
Take that note. All right. So today we're going to do something that we probably should have done a long time ago and honestly often avoid. We are going to reintroduce ourselves, because here's the thing. Most of us don't do this nearly enough. You evolve, your business evolves, what you care about shifts, but you're still out here introducing yourself like it's 5 years ago. Or worse, when somebody asks, so what do? Your brain just shuts off, because all of those things in your head, like you're a fucking expert, just go out the window because you're taken out of context. So you shut off, everything's gone, you've never worked a day in your life, and you say something vague, often awkward, and then think about it for the next 6 hours. So today, we are going to fix that. We're going to reintroduce ourselves like actually who we are and walk through how to talk about what you do in a way that feels real, clear, and doesn't sound like you copied it off of your LinkedIn posts. If that's what you sound like, you've got some work to do.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so we're going to just ask each other some questions and fire off some answers. So, are you ready, Kelly?
No, but, you know, I hate talking about myself, and I hate elevator pitches, and I hate telling people what I'm a fucking expert at, even though I will tell all of you that you need to do this. Right. But I do know that we have to do it, so.
Yes. So, what's your default intro? Somebody asks, you know, what you do. What's the thing that you've been saying kind of forever? And let's see if we can rework it.
So, We serve delicious food from amazing staff at affordable prices. And then our other little tagline is changing the world one taco at a time.
I love that. Don't ever change that.
Well, people don't understand what that means. And we don't have to do that today. But that's more of our like referencing all of the community work that we do that's really important to us. Whereas the elevator pitch that I said first is more, you know, Selena's is a restaurant. Like, this is what we provide.
Right. Now, can you update that to kind of where you are at now and maybe incorporate more of those things together?
I would say that we serve delicious food that can feed almost anyone and any size group. And then including, you know, we have the best staff, like the people that work for us, the ones we keep, you know, the ones that we don't keep. Are not kept for a reason, but yeah, we have the best staff. So we have the best staff serving delicious food that can feed almost anyone in any dietary restriction in any size group.
I think that's such a huge thing because you guys pay so much attention to that. And I don't know that everybody knows that. Yeah. So I think it should be. And that actually sounds like you. That's who you are, because that's who you are as a person too. Yeah, you're gonna do what you can to meet everybody's needs. Yeah. Because you're amazing.
I'm gonna try. All right, your turn. What's your default intro?
So I really loved when I was coming up with some of these things because I went onto my Google page and it says, because it's from the very beginning, a cozy tavern located in Seabreeze where everyone is welcome.
And where are you now?
We're a historic, slightly haunted tavern in Seabreeze, but what we've really built is a third place, somewhere you can come for great food and drinks, stay because it feels like you belong, and always find something going on, from events and experiences to hosting gatherings of your own.
All right, listeners, we could just drop the rest of the segment because you just showed the difference between when we're throwing it together and when we're actually talking about what is important to us.
Mm-hmm. It's like it was such a challenge, but because I feel like I go between, I got to make it short and simple to, I have to include everything that's important about us, and honing that in is tricky. So I kind of set it out to my sister and like, does this make sense? Or is this too long? And one point she's like, nobody's listening. And I think, you know, we get in our head either nobody cares or everybody cares too much. And I always reference back to that moment in Schitt's Creek. If Schitt's Creek wants to sponsor us or the Levy family, feel free. But there's that one moment where Alexis says to David, like, nobody's thinking about you as much as you think they are. And it's like, there's a balance there that you have to figure out. So you don't want to give too much info, but it's okay to bump it up a little bit because we are more than just a cozy tavern located in Seabreeze where everyone is welcome.
So much more.
Right.
And you didn't even talk. I don't want to go off topic, but there are so many things that you've built, and I'm sure we'll touch base on these, that you didn't include in that are huge for your business now.
Well, you need that tagline and that quick pitch to get people interested. And then that continues the conversation. Something quick and they're just going to move on.
Yeah.
So to hone in our story, let's ask some more questions. Are you ready for some more questions?
All right, bring it.
All right. What problem were you trying to solve when you started?
So for us, we started in this particular business. We purchased a business, and it wasn't just any business. It was a business we both worked at for over a decade. So we went into it very specific. We wanted to improve consistency, improve customer service, improve quality. So it was all these things that we didn't have control over as employees that we knew it could fairly easily be taken care of, right? And built systems. Right. We're both systems people, and coming from different service-based industries, like, you have to have systems in place and you have to have policies and procedures, and none of that stuff existed. So that was really what we were trying to solve when we started. And then on a personal level, we were given this opportunity and it was a huge risk and it was a huge expense, but we were like, okay, our personal interests and jobs that we would want don't pay well. And we can't have two people that make shitty amounts of money. So we were like, well, if we can make this successful, then this can kind of finance us doing the things that we're passionate about and that we really want to do in the community. And then, you know, pandemic, and we're kind of back where we started. So whatevs. But that was where we started.
What did you think this would be versus where are you actually now? Because I think that it was a wonderful reason to start the business, and that you did. You were able to do that for quite some time. And then, you know, there's things that we cannot control, like global pandemics.
Yes. So where I thought I'd be right now is the complete opposite of where I am, but it's where I am, right? There's no could have been, would have been, should have been. I just read in a book I was reading last night. It's Terry Pratchett. I love him. But in one of his books, somebody was like, well, what if? And the other person was like, well, yeah, and then you died in a car crash. And they're like, well, I didn't die in a car crash. And they're like, well, what if? Like, I don't know. Like, if we had done it,
right,
you don't know all the what ifs. So this is where we are. This is where we have to keep going. So that's kind of where now is. I kind of laughed and I was like, I love him so much, because you can't dwell on what could have happened, right? What we wanted to happen is what happened. We did build consistency. We did improve quality. We did bring great service. We have made a huge impact on the community. Just on our personal lives, we're just, you know, not financially as the place that we thought we'd be. So yeah, so that's where I thought I'd be versus where I am.
All right. I think I know the answer to this, but what's a moment that changed how you show up now? Like, what's a moment in business or an event?
Okay, so I could go big event or little event. Granted, it was only a couple years in, but in 2014, when we had the flood happen, the fire, that moment really sticks out every time. I hate people, you know, because everybody's a food critic and everybody knows better than you do about your business. But I just remember all of those people that showed up and helped us tear down and rebuild our restaurant. People we didn't know, people we didn't know, people, friends of people that we didn't know that heard about us. Like, so I think about that a lot. And then on a smaller note, there's these times where people tell us their Selena's story. And I think that as business owners, it's kind of like how we skip past the 5-star reviews and we only dwell on the 1-star reviews. Like, we have a couple that they still come in and they were going to divorce. And they came into Selena's to talk it through and figure out if they were going to divorce. Okay, are you kidding me? Like,
right.
Holy shit. So they came into the restaurant. They ended up staying for like 4 hours. The service staff, we were closed. They just started like cleaning around them. Like, nobody really wanted to ask them to leave. So they were like, just kind of doing what you can to close up around the last people. And they, I think they could kind of tell something was going on, right? So the staff we had at the time gave them some space and did what they could and ended up being like, I kind of got to vacuum where you are. And they left deciding they were going to stay married. And if my staff hadn't done what I would have wanted them to do in that moment and allowed these people to have this space, who knows what would have, like, they might have been divorced, right? They might have made a different choice. But because of that moment, they come back all the time. And this is their space, you know, and it's things like that. Or the person that comes in every year on their anniversary and sits at the table where their husband asked them to marry them, you know? Like, those people I try to focus on. And that's what changes how I do my business now. Because I didn't have that when we started. It was more just kind of business focused. Well,
I don't know that many industries do. It's such a wonderful opportunity that we get to be there for people's important moments. So many things happen in bars and restaurants and spaces like that. It's just such an incredible thing. And it's good that you remember those moments, because I think they're rare and so important to keep us going when times are hard, which they usually are.
And now I'm tearing up.
Well,
you're supposed to.
I love those stories. I might cry. Who knows? What do you usually leave out when you tell your story?
Oh, I leave out all the shitty parts. All the shitty parts. Yeah. You know, like, we joke about some of the shitty parts, but it's shitty sometimes. I leave out the loneliness. I leave out what it did to my kids. Like, we make choices as adults and we don't think about how they affect our families, right? My kids are the kids of the people whose parents, you know, the people whose parents own the popular restaurant. When I meet their moms are like, oh, Selena's margaritas. And then it's hard to connect past that, right? Because I'm a person that makes their favorite margaritas that they like to go to every Friday night. I'm not just this mom at school, right? So the kids get that connection.
Right.
And neither do I. So I leave that out. I leave out the financial woes. I leave out the fact that when the pandemic hit, my oldest kid tried to sell everything she owned.
Ugh.
I'm going to cry again. So yeah, I leave out the shitty parts. And I just focus on the good ones. Nobody wants to hear those anyways.
I mean, I disagree. There are some people that really do. But yes, in those moments, yes, nobody wants reality. But I think there's ways to put that into a story when you consider to reintroduce yourselves. Your children.
My children. All right, your turn. Now that you made me all teary.
Right.
What problem were you trying to solve when you started?
We were really trying to create a space where our customers at Marshall Street could go and have a nice dinner, something a little bit fancier, not upscale necessarily, but a place where they could get more than we can offer there and not feel uncomfortable. You know my husband well. He is not going to dress up unless it is for hiking or a wedding or a funeral. To be able to go someplace and have a nice dinner, a nice sit-down dinner, and not worry about who you are, where you came from, if you come in muddy from work, and that you would just feel comfortable and welcome. So that was the main thing we were looking for. I wanted something with some amount of history, but that certainly wasn't the plan from the beginning. But that's really what it was that we were looking to start.
All right. So 2019, what did you think the Union Tavern would be versus what it is?
A booming success. You know, I thought we really put a lot of time and thought into this business. We did start the process in 2018. There was a government shutdown. We were doing a federal mortgage. So it took a long time, which was shitty. Yeah. Really shitty, but really great because it did force us to kind of slow down because there was no movement in government. So we had to kind of wait on a lot of stuff. And we really felt like Seabreeze was such an interesting community and so much going on, but there was one thing that was missing. We really felt that there was a void, and we knew as business owners, meeting a need, filling a void is a very strong way to move forward towards longevity and success. So we really felt like we were doing that, and we did do it. We just didn't realize how many people would also be against that and change.
Oh, people hate change.
Yeah, that was a huge surprise. We really felt like everybody would be on our side because what we were doing really, like, how could it was right. You know, it wasn't the business that was there wasn't going to continue. And I think that people really struggled with that.
It wasn't your right. fault.
We didn't steal it. We didn't, like, they had it on the market for years, you know? So, and everything we were doing was positive and wonderful. And this idea that just because you don't agree it makes it wrong was like bananas to me, and how many times I had to say that to people. And where we are now, a lot of people have bought in, but it is certainly not the community that I thought would be buying in, because it's a struggle to get some of our neighbors even just to understand we are not these horrible, horrible liberals that came in and ruined their community.
From the city.
Uh-huh. So that's where we are now, though. But it is, you know, we are not the financial success that I thought. I thought this was going to save a lot of things financially for us, and it was the complete opposite.
This is business ownership.
Mm-hmm.
What's a moment that you think about that changed how you show up now versus 2019?
We have people, it's again, not necessarily a moment that we have, our regulars are incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the fact that they now get together and go other places too, which is wonderful, but they've now become, we've kind of created this interesting community. You know, Don and I have always said our staff are often, we've referred to them, us included, as the island of misfit toys, because it's just, that's just who we'd gravitate towards. And it's come that way into our community. And we're always trying to do things to be more inclusive. And, you know, my non-alcoholic program is huge. And I love that. And one of my favorite moments is we have this real, real blue collar fella that comes in. And, you know, there's times where I have to remind him it's 2022, 23, 24, 25, 26, whenever the comments is made. Hey, we don't use language like that anymore. he's just one of those guys, but he's wonderful and has a heart of gold. We just have, and he's, it's great that we've been able to redirect him as needed. But I was doing a non-alc mingle, which is something I used to do a lot, and where we'd have a bunch of people in, and he came over and was like, what's going on over here? And I was like, oh my God, don't ruin this for me. Like, this, please stop. And I explained what we're doing. You know, we're trying some non-alcoholic products. And he's like, well, I like Blue Moon. And he picked up the Blue Moon non-alc and was like, this is delicious. And now, like, he drinks them all the time with his Jack Fire. And it's really incredible. But, like, that was such a wonderful moment where these worlds can meet, and we're a part of that. And I love that. That's amazing for me.
What do you leave out when you tell your story?
How much we've had to adapt. You know, we opened right before COVID, and there is a, you know, we always say we're the queens and kings of pivot. Like, we are very comfortable living in that world because that's all we've had to do. And we're pivoting with purpose. And I talk about that a little bit, but I think that turns people off sometimes. Like, I don't want to hear it. It's hard. You chose this. It's the price of doing business, cost of doing business. I love that one.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been a constant evolution and finding a way to kind of talk about that without making it sound, you know, pity me is tricky, but it has changed the trajectory of our business.
Thank you. So I think the listeners, you just heard us answer the questions. I think that everyone should write down the questions, but there'll be a worksheet available.
Yes.
On the website. So you want to talk about, you want to think about the problem you tried when you started, what you thought you were going to be doing versus what you're actually doing, moments that change how you show up, and then what you're leaving out and whether or not that should be a part of your story. Like I was going to mention your non-alcoholic program in the beginning, because I was like, that's huge for what you guys are doing over there. And you mentioned you were able to bring it up anyway. So.
Right. Yeah, thinking like who you help, what you do, and why it matters is the perfect framework for putting together your story. All right. So yes, answer those questions for yourself and then think about it like in the moment and maybe have some friends, some trusted friends challenge you. Like Kelly, like how are you going to say like what it is, like you're at a bar and you're answering questions. Kelly, what do you do? What do you do for a living?
I... parent. Are you asking me to answer that question for real?
I think, if you want to.
I provide a space and opportunity to meet the needs of your group, no matter what they are. We have everything from kids' birthday parties to corporate luncheons to weddings. I mean, we have covered it all. We've catered for 2,000. You know, it's, we really are capable and are fucking experts at what people need in any setting, any need, any. I mean, we, even though our kitchen and our recipes follow under certain allergen guidelines, like, we work with people all the time that have different needs and we just create menus that are different. You know, if you need items that are soy free or you need items that, you know, have a different allergen on them. Cilantro is tough, but we have a cilantro woman. We have a woman that comes in at least once a month that is allergic to everything. And we have created a dinner for her and she comes in every month and eats it. You know, so we really are able to meet the needs of any group. So that's what I do, is I find interesting, unique ways to meet the needs of every group and then to get the word out that we can do it. That's what I do for a living.
Yeah, amongst 1,000 other things, but yes, absolutely.
Well, all of the 1,000 other things kind of funnel into that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you do for a living, Kelly?
Everything. And that's what I feel like sometimes. And I hate to give that answer, but I'm solving the needs of my community. I'm creating menus that are accessible and affordable. We're really working on some, like Monday night, just having a very simple menu option available. We are bringing in entertainment that we feel fits our brand and still meets the needs of a very vibrant little tiny community. We call it our Miracle in a Mile. We've also started working with our local businesses. So I got as many women businesses together as I could because Seabreeze is 52% women business owned. And we get together and we talk about what we're doing. We share that we're collaborating. We collaborate. We have each other's backs on social media. So I feel like I'm creating this community, which really is our brand. Like I said, we saw a void and wanted to meet that need. And I feel like I'm now extending that into our bigger community as well.
I could be wrong, but I think that you have created community. You haven't just engaged with it and collaborated with it, but your introduction into Seabreeze changed that neighborhood and that business neighborhood. But that's just my personal. Oh,
thank you. It's my cue to cry now. And it's all we do. I mean, community is the biggest part. That's part of our name. Like we, you know, community wanted, we wanted to do that and have that be a part, which is why we chose Union. But just community is tough to have in a business name.
Right. Union, Tavern, Seabreeze, community.
Yeah. So yeah, that's who I am. I'm a community maker, community builder.
You are. Yeah. I mean, look at Bossy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's all connected. And, you know, I think this is really important. I'm glad you said that. If you own or run multiple businesses, find a way to work that into your elevator pitch. You can talk about all of them because chances are you, at the base, it's all your value system, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to have something to do with each other, even if they're all out. I mean, I have this, we have Bossy. I've got this ridiculous merch company that I'm trying to start doing so I can make some money someday. But they all, at the end of the day, all have the same vision and the same values. So you can work it all into one system, one little pitch.
Yes.
I'll work on that. Yeah. I need to do that.
We always leave with things to do. We have to stop that.
Exactly. What else do we want to talk about?
Who shouldn't work with you?
And people with no tolerance for people other than themselves. We've made that very, very important that we've got a diverse community in our customers and our staff. We tend to get people that are similar to myself and Amy, who helps me run the union. I know I can tell very quickly if they're not going to get along because we are not always structured in the way people want things to be structured, but we have a method to our madness and it works. We are still here.
Because you actually know what you're doing.
Right. What about... I am a fucking expert at that. Well, who should not be working with you?
Well, we have the general dickhead, like guests, employees, the whole nine yards, like, don't be a dick. And we have our nice little sign out front that says, if you're a dick in any way, shape, or form, we're going to get rid of you. It doesn't matter who you are or what your position is at the restaurant. It's not allowed. And then I would say nickel and dimer is like people who think that Mexican is Taco Bell. Don't come to me. I don't overcharge for my food, but I'm charging what it costs. So if you're going to be like, oh, well, I could go to this place and get dollar burritos, I can't give you dollar burritos. It's not possible. I would be donating my time, money, and mortgage because dollar burritos don't pay for the burrito.
No.
So yeah, I would say those nickel and dimers, your nickel and dime, just don't reach out. Just look at everybody's menus and pick the cheapest one and go with it. And that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. You will be unhappy.
Or maybe you'll be happy. Who cares? But just you're going to be unhappy with me if that's the type you are. Or if you're a dickhead.
Right. Why do people keep coming back to Selena's?
So I think that we've made a very concise and driven. It's in our training. It's in our manuals. It's in everything we talk about at meetings. It's called Brains. It's from my favorite author, Zombie Loyalist, Peter Shankman, but it's bringing random amazement into normal situations. And that's everybody's job every day. So the goal is that no matter where you are when you walk in, everybody comes in, again, customers, employees, everything, with their life underneath. We don't know what you've experienced. We don't know if you got fucked over by the mechanic on your way over. We don't know if you're in a fight with your spouse or your kids are assholes or your job sucks. Like, we don't know. Or maybe you're having the best day ever. We don't know how you're walking in. So our goal is to make you feel just a little bit better. And that's everybody's job. And that is their number one job. And it doesn't matter how they need to do it. They have full open rein on what they think they need to do to make this person feel a little bit better. Because when you feel a little bit better, you're going to want to come back. Because customer service doesn't exist.
Right.
I just came back from Disney. Disney used to be a place that Disney, if you want to sponsor us, I'm not about to talk nice about you, but you could sponsor us. I used to really study because they were known for their customer service. It doesn't exist the same way it used to. You know, you go to the local stores, you go to your gas station, customer service is just not what it used to be. And everyone is angry and divisive and just expects pushback. So when you walk into Selena's, our goal is to release all of that. We don't have any of that. So I think that's why people come back. And I don't even think they know we're doing it. They don't realize that we consider it everyone's number one job is to make people feel better. So that's why I think they come back. Why do they come back to Union?
Like, simply because they feel good when they're there.
See?
I mean, it's so simple. It's not complicated, but it is really difficult to create. Mm-hmm. And once you've created it, it's a lot easier to execute by building the right team, by managing your clientele and their experience. But it's just really that simple.
Yeah.
They just feel good. They feel good. They feel welcome. And we've created things to make them feel welcome. And people see.
They feel happy about spending their money. Everybody's like angry about spending their money because there's less of it. Everything costs more right now. So you want to be good when you're spending more money. Nobody wants to spend money and be angry.
Right. So, yeah, that's really why I think they continue to come back and tell their friends.
How would you describe the Union Tavern if you were coming off of a 20-hour shift and drunk at the bar?
Well, it loves a lot of hiccups. I would say very simply, because I probably want to keep it as short and simple as possible, it's a historic tavern, but really it's a place to belong.
Oh, my God, that's your elevator pitch.
Yeah, right?
Done. We got our t-shirt for the show. Done.
Yeah. Done. Perfect.
So it's important to reintroduce yourself. It's important.
So important.
Update your elevator pitch. I love that we just came up with one on the fly. No, that was not planned. We do come into these lines, but we don't know where they're going to go until they happen.
Never.
Because that's who we are. Real, raw, and honest.
Mm-hmm.
And still bossy's mantra. So you need to reintroduce yourself. People aren't paying attention. They forgot. We live in a TikTok world. Go, right. go.
Attention spans are limited to seconds, not hours like they used to be.
So even if you're the same person, you have to continually introduce yourself because people forgot. But then if you've changed and you've evolved and you become better at things and now you're a fucking expert, people really don't know unless you tell them.
True. And when you're doing that evolution, your clientele is often going to change. So you do need to reintroduce yourself for that reason.
Business changes. What you care about changes. People change.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Action items for the listeners, because we are going to leave you with how to create a quick elevator pitch. So you're going to go through this episode and you're going to answer our questions for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't do it while you were listening, go back. And also they'll be on the worksheet if you don't want to re-listen.
Agreed. And I will get that up and it'll be amazing. And you'll really, at the bare minimum of it, you don't want to do all of that. Think of these three things. How you answer these questions. I help by, I do that by, and it matters because.
And if you want to level it up, right now I'm really focused on. Right now you're really focused on your NA program. I'm really focused on my large groups and meeting everyone's needs.
Yes.
Level it up. You're allowed to evolve and change. And if people don't like it, that's on them, not you. Because it's your business. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you want with it.
Exactly. You're allowed to reintroduce yourself as many times as you want and as many times as it takes to reach the audience that you need.
So I'm Kelly Metris, owner of Selena's Mexican Restaurant in the Village Gate in Rochester, New York, where we're changing the world one taco at a time.
But that covers it all. I love that. And I'm Kelly Bush. I own a historic tavern, but really it's just a place to belong.
And now I'm going to cry. Follow us at Bossy Rochester. Email us bossyrock@gmail.com. That's bossyroc@gmail. Come be on the show. Tell us the things that you're a fucking expert at and share it with the world. Practice your elevator pitch. We're pretty easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the people we've interviewed, we're in 80 some odd episodes and all of them have been happy with the results so far. So follow us. Make sure you're subscribed. Reach out to us.
Be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
Be the boss.
Till next time. Thank you.